of how he came so far from glory. Came and dwelt among the lowly, such as I, to suffer pain and such disgrace. On Mount Calvary, take my place. Then I asked myself this question: who am I? Who am I that a king would bleed and die for? Just who am I that he would pray, not my will, thine for? The answer I may never know, just why he ever loved me so. But to an old rugged cross he would go. Who am I? I'm reminded of his words: I'll leave you never. If you'll be true, I'll give to you life forever. I don't know why I could have done to deserve God's only Son. He fights my battles still, they're won. Who am I? Just who am I? Just who am I that he would pray, not my will, thine for? The answer I may never know, just why he ever loved me so. But to an old rugged cross he would go. Who am I?
Amen. Let's turn in the Word of God to the 10th chapter of the book of Revelation. And while you turn in, I want to say that I'm glad to see Coy back here in the back. He told me back at the back there, said, Ben, I've got to the 16th chapter of that new book. And said, it sure is good. So that's an interpreted book. So if you don't have one, Brother Francis has some back here, so be sure and get a copy. I feel like you will enjoy it. Praise God. Amen. And before we read the Word, I would like to say this. Years ago, when we did the book of Revelation, originally, this is an updated version. Basically the same, but some updating in there. that I felt like it just had a burden on my heart. It seemed like it just kept coming to my mind. Do a book on Revelation. Do a book on Revelation. And I kind of kept ignoring it, but it got real heavy. And it was just like a big marble in my heart there. Like seemed like just in my heart, just a burden. So we started on the book of Revelation. And this lady sitting back here took it off tape. We had some on tape, and she took it off tape and did it years ago. And we went over it and did a lot to it, and finally we came out with a book. But it went through several stages. Amen. And it's finished now. But then when we finished, the burden just lifted, you know. So God, He is a great God, and He's able to exceedingly abundantly above anything that we can ask or think. I had a dream not too long ago. I'd been preaching some on the church ages and bringing some of the historical facts out. But one night when I was finishing up on it, I had a dream that I was in something like a watchtower of some type or a light. It was more like a lighthouse. And different people were coming there to that lighthouse, and they were coming because at one time the light had been there, but there was no light there anymore in that sense. So as we would come there, and as I was going out, I said to myself, this will be my last time coming here. Amen. This will be my last time coming. And I was just coming to what has been rather than what is, see. Amen. It's good to know those things that God has done, but He is a now God. How many knows Him? And He's able to exceedingly above and abundantly above anything we could ask or think. And we just thank God that He's moving in that special way. But I had this dream. I said, I won't be coming back here anymore after church age. So I will never take another series and go into the deeper historical things of the church age. Amen. But I will say the church, we've come through seven church ages, and they're over their history, and I'm glad we know them. But to bring you out and keep you for long history lessons and proving who the messenger was and who the angel was and all these things, I believe the Lord has said, don't go back there anymore. That part is accomplished. That part is finished. That part is done. And that part's over with. Hallelujah. Amen. So as I was doing the book of Revelation, I had a dream. I was coming down through a meadow, green grass all around, but there was a little trail, maybe like for where wagon has been. There was a farmhouse. And the farmhouse appeared to be that no one was living there. Brother Francis may have to use another mic. I'm having problems. Okay. Amen. Praise the Lord. But I was coming down towards this farmhouse. As I was studying in the 10th chapter of the book of Revelation. And as I approached it, it appeared as no one lived in it. And I thought, well, I'll walk up to the old farmhouse here. And all of a sudden, the door opened. And here come a man out, and I noticed he had something in his hand. And it was a bullhorn, like policemen use or someone make a public announcement or something to that effect. And he walked out to the edge of the porch and he put it up to his mouth and he said, "Remember the feet," and dropped it, held it down to his side and walked back in the house and closed the door. And I woke up. Amen. So I began to wonder, what's that? And it just seemed to come to me, the 10th chapter of the book of Revelation. Remember the feet. And I believe this is related in the little booklet back here. It's called Bishops, Deacons, Elders, and so on. At the end of it, there's a chapter that deals with the feet. Remember the feet. And in this 10th chapter of the book of Revelation, the feet is very important. He put his right foot upon the sea and his left foot upon the earth. Now, it's been clearly established in the Word of God that the sea means multitude and people and so on, which signifies the coming in the early ages at Pentecost to the Eastern people, but one foot on earth, left foot on the earth, signifies his coming over here in this United States in 63 there as he came down, seven angels came and the seals and all was cleared up, and this is made known by the teaching of Brother William Branham as he brought in about the United States being that lamb beast that come up out of the earth. See, the earth part. Remember the feet. Now, between the time he put his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the earth, there's a 2,000-year period. Amen. And during that 2,000-year period, the church ages are accomplished and finished. They begin and end during that period of time. Amen. And we find, we're going to read on down, but and we're going to finish up this tonight, and we won't be too long, I don't think. But it will become very important about the feet. And if we miss that point, we will miss the thing of Revelation chapter 10, the time scope of it. It's a 2,000-year period between one foot on the sea and the other foot on the earth. Amen. And as the mighty angel come down, he has an open book. And it was open to the early church. And the book, the little book, is the Word of God. And the Bible says, "Ye are written epistle, read of all men." Paul said, "You are my epistles." And the Word of God teaches there that the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. And also, Paul said, God has made us able ministers of the New Testament, which weren't written at that time. Able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter of the Word, but of the Spirit. He said, the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. So the letter become the tree of knowledge. Amen. But the Spirit of life, the Spirit of life of that Word is made available for us today. Praise God. Now, as we read this, I want you to notice here, I'm going to start verse 1. I'm coming down. My main thoughts are going to be between 8 and 11. As we read here, and we went over the other night, just to refresh your mind. It says, "And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud." That means takes a revelation to see him. He's surrounded. That's what some translate. Surrounded in a cloud. "And a rainbow upon his head, and his face was as it was the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire." Those are identifying markers to show that it's the Lord Jesus Christ in an angelical form. And when he come in angelical form, you don't see him with your natural eye. Amen. Angelica, he comes in the form of an angel, and he brings the Word back to his people. Now watch verse 2. It says, "And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot upon the earth." Now this was 96 A.D. when John was seeing this. See, 96 A.D. there on the isle that's called a Patmos. And he was there seeing all this take place. Now, he had a little book in his hand open. He came to that early church. Amen. In the power of the resurrected Savior. He came to that early church in all his glory. And the sick was healed, the dead was raised, and many mighty miracles took place. Amen. But then watch here. As we read on down verse 3, "And he cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roars, and when he cried, seven thunders of their voices." Now, in the first chapter of the book of Revelation, starting verse 4, we find there it identifies the seven spirits of God for the first time in the New Testament. Amen. And we find you reach back, and this takes place in 96 A.D. We hear the sounding of these voices. Hallelujah. But it's been revealed in our day, see. We get the same benefit because it's revealed in our day. We understand the message out. Now, verse 4 says, "And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write." Now watch here, it's an authorizing voice. God speaks again, and that's what we're speaking on. God's authorizing voice speaks again. Here's the first time He spoke. Now, I'm not talking about Jesus Christ speaking, and I'm not talking about the Holy Ghost speaking. I'm talking about Almighty God, Eternal Spirit that controls all things. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ relates to us, the church. God relates to all space and time. Hallelujah. So in all that, still there's one God, but God is a spirit, and they that worship God must worship Him in spirit and truth. So the Almighty God speak with an authorizing, authoritative voice and tell John to seal up. Now watch as we read it here, verse 4. "And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered and write them not." Now I want you to know it's 96 A.D. He said, seal them up. This authorized, as soon as the thunder uttered their voices, He said, seal up that which the seven thunders uttered. Amen. It was to be sealed up until the end time, and then God was going to just open it up and make it known to end time people, because He was going to be real to a people in this end time, just like He was to the early church. Now, the book, notice now, through the church ages, the book was sealed up. There was an open book. Christ was open to the people in the early church. In 96 A.D., John wrote that they'd already fallen from their first love. He said, "Thou art fallen." Revelation chapter 2, when he addressed the pastor there of the church, the angel of the church of Ephesus, "Thou art fallen." So the church fell away and they lost their initiative. They lost that fire. They lost that zeal. They lost that spirit to believe all things are possible to them that believe. They lost that faith that says that all things are possible to them that believe. They lost that commission, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils, freely you receive and freely give. It was right there among the church to the point that Peter would walk down the street there and they would lay the sick out on the street and his shadow touching them was a point of contact that they released their faith and the sick were healed. Hallelujah. Peter raised the dead. Paul raised the dead. Hallelujah. And the church was the word Paul spoke, "Ye are my epistles written in the tables of your heart. You're my epistle, read of all men." And he said, "This word, amen, it's written in your heart." He says, "It's written not with ink," meaning it's not some tangible, legible word, but it's the people themselves being the word. Amen. It's Christ in the earth, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. Amen. It was Jesus Christ, real among a people. Hallelujah. The early church went about 40 years there without any written word whatsoever. Amen. That was written in a Bible, tangible form. Hallelujah. The only thing they had basically was the Old Testament. And then in 37 A.D., the book of Matthew was written. But what Paul wrote to the church, basically, it was gathered together and accumulated after he passed on and went off the scene. Hallelujah. And they had to operate and operate by the present leadership of the Holy Ghost Hallelujah, as Christ was in the church, directing the church from within. Hallelujah. The Christ, the book was open. There was nothing concealed, nothing hid. It was, all things are possible. It was all available to Him until the church fell away and Christ had to withdraw in that form and become a high priest for 7 church ages. We see Revelation chapter 1, He's dressed in a raiment down to His feet and girt about just the high priest's office. And high priest is to make intercession for the heirs of the people. And the people were in error. Wheat and tare growed together. And that word, Christ, was sealed away out of reach of the people in that form till the end time. Hallelujah. They had their revivals. They had their times when God moved. And we had our women preachers. And many of them did a great job. We had most of our churches believed in a Trinity and were baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And bless your heart, saints, when we get there, we're going to see them. Hallelujah. Those that came through in that way. But in the last day, we're to go back to the original when the books open again. Hallelujah. And we get to that tree of life that He was picking up and taking to the paradise of God and concealed from us. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, get to the point to settle the question once and all about the thunders. Have they sound? Yes, they sounded in 96 A.D. and were sealed. Amen. Now, let's read that to be sure, because that one point I want to... we won't be going over these a lot, but let me get that. Verse 4 again. And when the 7 thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the 7 thundered and 7 thundered, seal up those things which the 7 thunders uttered, and write them not. So that's pretty much settled there. Amen. That it was sealed up with 7 seals, and the only thing the seal said in the book of Revelation was white horse. First seal. Second seal, red horse. Fourth seal, black horse. And then, the first one was white. Second one, red. Third one was a black horse. Fourth one was a gray horse. And on down the line, and that's all we knew about it. Hallelujah. It was sealed up. Amen. It was a time element that was sealed up, waiting till one day Christ, after He made intercession for all the seeds, the saints, and they'll come in 2,000 years later. Amen. He would come again. He would speak again that authorizing voice of Christ that spoke and said, seal up the book. Amen. Would send a prophet messenger to this age, and He would unloose the 7 seals and unwind the 7 seals, and once again we'd hear the thunder sound. Hallelujah. Thunders are nothing more than the voice of the 7 angels. Hallelujah. And spiritual angels that was right there in Revelation chapter 1. Hallelujah. So now we got it back. The seals are taken off the book. And the book, amen, is spiritual. It's Christ, the Word. Hallelujah. Because a spiritual angel come down. He doesn't bring a literal book. Hallelujah. This literal book were not brought. It was the Spirit. It was Christ. This literal book here, the Word of Knowledge, it has become the tree of knowledge that every seminary uses, amen, to bring their knowledge and so on. But Christ now is coming to earth to be real to a people with that spoken Word, which is the original seed. That book, the life of Christ, is open. And now we can believe that all things are possible. Hallelujah. All right, let me just get on down in a hurry here. We dealt with that some the other night, so we'll see that you get the other parts of the message and won't stay on this very long. Verse 5 says, and the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth and lifted his hand to heaven. See, putting it worldwide and spanning the scope of time. Hallelujah, from Pentecost all the way through. It says, and swore. Now, I want you to notice this here. He swore by Him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things which are therein, and the sea and the things which therein, which are therein, that there should be time no more. Amen. Time is not going to be sealed up anymore. Time was a period we went through. There's two kingdoms spoken of in the Word of God. One of them is the kingdom of God. And the brother parts, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. It's within you, the Bible says. Amen. It's pure. It's undefiled. Amen. It's of Christ. But then there's the kingdom of heaven, which is a time period that relates to church ages. And within the kingdom of heaven, wheat and tares grows together because it's a natural kingdom, see. Amen. And it's a religious spirit. And the kingdom of heaven age, it will come to an end. This angel stand and swear. Now I want you to watch. He swear by greater than him. Amen. When God made a covenant with Abraham, he swore by himself because he could swear by no greater, see. Amen. But here's an angel, Christ in spirit form, come to earth, and he raised his hand to heaven and swear by the eternal that has spoken to John and said, seal up the book. Hallelujah. Amen. Swear that time, this time period is no more. And then he points back to why it's happened nowadays. He said, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished as he has declared to his servants the prophet. Now watch, when the seventh angel, and we know that seventh church age messenger, amen, as that seventh angel sounded right through him, when he sounded the mystery, and I want you to notice that word, the word is singular mystery. It's not all the mysteries of the Bible. It's this certain mystery that's spoken of in Revelation 1 and 20 that deals with seven candlesticks, seven church ages, and seven stars. He said this time period would come to an end because all of this was unheard of. And if you preach seven church ages in the days when Paul were here on earth, if you preach there's seven spirits, seven angels, seven church ages, and seven stars, Paul would have looked at you and says, where did this fellow come from? There's nothing like that in the Word, see? Amen, because it was Jesus Christ in the church, see? Hallelujah. But that's something we developed through time as the church came through seven church ages, and God dealt with it like that. Thus we see the Lamb that goes and takes the book. We see the Lamb has seven eyes and seven horns. Amen. A bloody Lamb. Now we know that that's representative of Jesus and what He did at Calvary. But Jesus Christ did not have seven eyes and seven horns. And if you went to heaven tonight, you wouldn't see any such creature. God let John see a vision in order to get a point here. But all these things that I'm saying to you now is foreign language to the early church. Don't miss that point. All these things that I'm saying, it would be foreign language to the early church. And if you spoke of the seventh angel coming, Paul would say, what are you talking about? If you said something about Martin Luther there and the fifth angel, Paul would say, I don't have any idea what you're saying. Because it was not known in the early church. And the only way it can be known to us as we make this final stand here in the end time is as a historical fact that just the route that God brought the church through, and it's to be left there as that. Amen. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! I feel the Holy Ghost now, brothers and sisters. Woo! Amen! It has to be left there as that. Now I see why I had the dream of the lighthouse there. And the light had come, and in the dream, as I was walking out through a stone door there, I said, I will not be back here anymore. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Why? Because Paul never was there. Now, don't miss that point, because this is one of the very important points of it. Many of the things we preach, as it relate to the route the church came, if we were picked up and set back in the early church, they would say, get that fellow out of here. Amen. They'd say, get rid of him, because they had one thing to preach, and that was Christ. They had one life to live, and that was Christ. Hallelujah. They had a faith, and Paul called it a substance in the book of Hebrews. Faith is a substance. It's not some imagination, it's a substance. Amen. It's a spiritual substance, but it is a substance. Glory to God, and He has given each one of us the measure of faith. Hallelujah. But Paul preached the Word of God to his people in his day, and he says, your faith groweth exceedingly. Hallelujah. There's where we're at tonight. Hallelujah. Where God's going to give us something to cause our faith to grow exceedingly. Praise God. So the seventh angel came, he cleared that up and finished it. But he said, go back to the original. Go back to what Paul preached. Hallelujah. If you do, and you get up and preach seven church ages, you're not preaching what Paul preached. If you preach the kingdom of heaven age, you're not preaching what Paul preached. If you preach seven stars, you're not preaching what Paul preached. If you preach Jesus Christ, the high priest in the church age, you're not preaching what Paul preached. If you preach the Lamb has seven eyes and seven horns, you're not preaching what Paul preached. Hallelujah. All those things are laid in there. When the time came, God sent a prophet messenger of the Old Testament type. And he cleared up that mystery and laid it in there. And God took him off the scene. Hallelujah. Praise God. And on his heel followed Brother Raymond Jackson. We know that the Jews and Gentiles have stayed side by side through the church ages. And when the fifth seal was revealed, it let us know that the Jews are the brethren. That's what they were in the early church. Hallelujah. Among each other, we're brothers and sisters. But when it relates to Christ, the Jews is His brethren. And there's a lot of difference, I say it, in a brother and a bride. Hallelujah. I take my wife home with me every night, but I don't take my brethren. Hallelujah. Amen. I like to get a good kiss from my wife every now and then. Amen. But if my brothers tried to kiss me, amen, I would definitely throw them, say, well, this fella, hey, what's wrong with you? Oh, you've got some kind of wrong spirit on you or something. Hallelujah. Well, the Jews, they're the brethren, see? Amen. And God sent Raymond Jackson, amen, as like Peter and Paul in the early church before any of this came about as kingdom of heaven. Eh? See, there's where we've got to get if we find the truth for our day and age. Amen. Before the kingdom of heaven ever started, there were Paul, God raised him up to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. There was Peter, God raised him up to preach to the Jews. It's Galatians chapter 2. Paul, the Bible says as Paul had the gospel for the uncircumcision, Peter had the gospel for the circumcision. The same one that was in mighty in Paul towards the Jews were mighty in the same one that was mighty in Peter towards the Jews, the same one was mighty in Paul to the Gentiles. Amen. So we had those things. That gives us a pattern of what has happened. And we find in this hour, just after Brother Brown went off the scene, here come a man named Raymond Jackson, and he let us know clearly where the Jews fit. Amen. And he never would really have a whole lot to do with me because I didn't believe seven men are yet to come. And God ordained it thus. God knows more what He's doing than all of us put together. Hallelujah. So somehow it blocked it off, and he said the seventh seal's not open, the thunders hadn't sound, any of these things hadn't taken place yet. Therefore, it cut off the followers and those from crossing over into the land that we've crossed over into now. Hallelujah. Amen. But it was absolutely necessary for the bride to recognize the brethren. Hallelujah. The Christ introduced us to the brethren, and now He introduced us to the Father as an authorizing voice speaks. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now we not only know who the bride is, we know who the brethren are, and we know who our Father is. God is a spirit, and they that worship God must worship God in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. And all the while, there's one God, one faith, one Lord. Amen. And God's getting the church ready to get out of here. Hallelujah. Now, that book was open to the early church. Hallelujah. Then it was sealed up with seven seals. But now it's open again for the bride here at the end time. Now, I want you to watch as we go down now, getting into the 8th verse of Revelation chapter 10. Remember this, the church age is over, the seals are over, the sevens are over, the high priest, the age of Christ is over. We've got back to the original again. Hallelujah. And last night we showed the ministry when we get into the homeland. Whoo! Hallelujah, hallelujah. Brother and sister, if your faith can rise up, we're back in the homeland. Amen. We're back where Christ Jesus is among us. Hallelujah. And we're not bound by any of the faults and failures or successes of the seven church ages. We're not bound by the faults and failures or the successes of the early church. Amen. The Christ that we have is the same Christ that they had. Hallelujah. And it's laid in our hands now. And He says, go forward, possess the land. Praise God. Amen. I'm telling you, this is good. Praise God. Now watch as we read verse 8. It says, and the voice. Amen. Now you notice the authorizing voice. It spoke and set seal up the book. And then leave it sealed, and then the seventh angel would come and finish. There was a voice that spoke, said, seal it up through the kingdom of heaven age. But here's the authorizing voice, speaks again. The God that spoke one time, amen, now speaks again. And again, let me remind you, I'm not talking about Jesus Christ speaking. I'm talking about God, eternal spirit. Hallelujah. It said that the world's about, some says 60 million years old, some put it out there to 100 million, and other different scientists, they give different opinion how old it is. But the fact is, none of us know how old it is. Amen. But it's probably reached back there in the eons of time when the dinosaurs on the earth and so on like that. And the point I'm saying that for is, God was real back then. Hallelujah. He was moving back then. He had a pre-historical creation where He tried His angels. Glory to God. Where the dinosaurs roamed this earth, not in our age. And then Satan, he fell by transgression, by trying to lift himself up above that God ordained him to be. And we see some today that like to want to get just a little higher than God wants them. We're one. And let Him that's greatest among you be the servant. Amen. How many will say amen to that? If you're a great one, then come shine my shoes. Hallelujah. Amen. Just saying that to make a comparison here. Glory to God. But Satan lifted himself up and God overthrowed this earth. The sun's been rising and setting for the aeons of time. They say it reached back in me. Well, God control all that. Jesus Christ did not come into existence until about 2,000 years ago when He was born of the Virgin Mary. Amen. Hallelujah. And when He did come, He came as a man. And He lived the first 30 years just as a normal human being, other than He didn't do a lot of the foolish things like we do. Amen. And when He was 30 years old, John was preaching the Word of God and He came down to be baptized of John. And when He was baptized of John, the Spirit of God came within Him. And then He began to do miracles. He went into the temple and He said, the Spirit of the Lord's upon me. He has anointed me to preach the gospel, to heal the sick, and to loose them that's in prison, and to heal the brokenhearted. And then He said, this day, this Scripture is fulfilled before your eyes. Hallelujah. And from henceforth, He started casting out devils. He started raising the dead. He started healing the sick. The Almighty God has come and took His abode in His Son without measure. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. And Jesus began to do the mighty things that He did. And then He did that for about 3.5 years. And then He went to the cross to be crucified. Amen. Now, they asked me over in Africa on my last trip, I believe it was, said, Brother Howard, can you explain to us and explain to us what the Holy Ghost is? Says a lot of people want to know, we just don't know what the Holy Ghost is. I said, can you explain? Can you enlighten us? I said, yes, I can. I said, the Holy Ghost is your portion of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Because in the Old Testament, there was many men. There was Abraham. There was Joseph, as good as he was. And many other men that they died in the Old Testament, they always say, and they gave up the ghost. They gave up the ghost. Samuel gave up the ghost, but he didn't go to heaven. It wasn't holy. He went down in the compartment of paradise, and he couldn't come out to be set free until Jesus gave His life and shed His blood. Hallelujah. But when Jesus gave up the ghost, now we got a Holy Ghost. Woo! Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. The ghost is the spirit, the soul of man. And now we got a Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And Jesus went down and brought the Old Testament saints out. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. He brought the Old Testament saints out. And then He stayed here for 40 days and nights, ascended back to heaven. Amen. About 10 days or so, He came back to the church. But He didn't come back as the person of Christ. Amen. He came back as the Holy Ghost that He divided Himself upon each one of them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And when you receive the Holy Ghost, the Amen, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, it's a Spirit that will connect with your spirit as you repent of your sins. Amen. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Come up out of that water claiming the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Amen. It's the very life of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Now that didn't drain heaven. When Jesus was here, it didn't drain heaven. All of God wasn't here. Amen. When Jesus was born, someone told me that was God laying there in the manger. Well, it was the Word made flesh and the Word part of God, but it had to develop into something. Hallelujah. Because when they were about to kill Jesus, God spoke to Joseph and said, take the young child down in Egypt, for they will seek to take his life. Hallelujah. God had to take care of him and keep him safe until the time when he came within him. And then he began to do the works. He says, when he raised the dead, he said, it's not me that doeth the work, but the Father that dwells in me. Hallelujah. It didn't make the flesh father. It didn't make the man father. But it made that spirit in him. Hallelujah, the Father. Amen. How many will say amen? Praise God. In the Old Testament, as we follow the story of redemption, we find that in the Old Testament, God accepted a lamb to be killed and put the blood on the altar for their sins. They had to do it every year. But the spirit of that lamb could not come back upon the believer because it was unlike a human spirit. Hallelujah. But God wanted to become a living soul. Hallelujah. In the book of Isaiah 53, when Jesus crucified, the Bible says He poured out His soul unto death. Not His spirit, His soul, the personality. Amen. The person of Christ. Hallelujah, was poured out, and now we got something that will connect with the human family. He became one of us. Glory to God. And so when He died and He cried with a loud voice, He gave up that soul, that Holy Ghost, and that came back upon the believer, and that's what they received on the day of Pentecost. Hallelujah, that's what led the church, the Holy Ghost. Praise God. But here we're looking at something else. We're looking at Christ coming in the form of a mighty angel. And all that's ever been sealed up from God's people are now open to them. Hallelujah. And that authorizing voice, not of Christ. Christ is here as a mighty angel. Now I want you to know when this voice speaks. He set the sun in motion, and there's nothing on earth can affect the sun. It's about 93 million miles away. It can be cloudy here. It don't affect the sun. We can have an ice storm that freezes up everything, so you'll have to stay indoors for 6 weeks and don't see any sunlight. But it don't affect the sun. It's 93 million miles up there still doing its thing. Amen. Does that represent God as He set something in motion? The Almighty, hallelujah. Whatever He authorized and ordained, nothing, no circumstances can hinder it. Amen. I had a heart attack, but here I'm up going twice as strong. God gave me that dream when I came out of the intensive care for six or eight days. They say he don't know if he's going to live or die, but when I come home, God gave me a dream the first time. I was going back, like in Alaska, there was such a storm, such a blizzard, and it was giving me 5 suits of clothes and some food. And they were clothes like these skiers wear, some kind of light clothes. And it says, I want you to push back the frontier. Take food. Take raiment. Says, I want you to push it back for those that are coming on. Hallelujah. Well, brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. Hallelujah. That same God is speaking. Glory to God. The God of heaven, He authorized something. And when He authorized something, nobody can stop the sun. Only one time, and that was when Joshua had the voice of God, and he said, let the sun stand still that we might win this battle. Now, it probably was the earth stopped turning. I don't know. The mechanics there is not important. But the sun been rising and setting for millions of years and millions of years. Now it'll still be doing. In the millennial reign, it'll still be doing because God has authorized it. Now, God, when He authorized something, then and only then can you do it, and then and only then you will do it. Amen. The great authorizing voice that spoke in the days of John and said, seal up the book. Seal up what? Now, it's going to be sealed for 7 church ages. Amen. Seal it up. But watch here in Revelation 10 and 8, and the voice which I heard from heaven. Now, no, it's not speaking on earth. The voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again. This is the second time. Hallelujah. The first time it spoke there that John, it showed John the church ages. But then here it shows when the mystery is finished, the kingdom of heaven run its course, the voice is speaking again. And said unto me, go and take the little book which is open. Now we've been authorized. Now, here's the important thing. And somewhere or another, God channels that authorization through a channel. And I believe last evening, over at Brother Hibbert's church, we brought in how that the voice of God to the church come through that ministry that He set in there when we're back in the land, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Hallelujah. First, it's got to be that feeling in your heart. And I've talked to different ones. Everybody got that feeling in their heart. There's something of fixing to happen. Hallelujah. There's something just about to happen. Hallelujah. It's that voice speaking within you. Hallelujah. That feeling you got. It's time for more than what we got. It's time for more than to do more than what we're doing. Hallelujah. There's a voice that has authorized it, and we can go forth now in complete faith. Amen. And take the land. Hallelujah. Yes. Now watch the voice from heaven. Go take the little book. Now what is the little book? It's Christ's Word, unwritten Word. Now I want to drop this note in before going on. If the mighty angel is a spiritual angel, he's not bringing a literal book. Now, did you get that? Would you mind me saying it again for clarification? To be sure, the mighty angel is spirit. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. And he brings back a book open. This book open is not the Bible.
That's right.
Hallelujah. This Bible is the tree of knowledge. Hallelujah. But the tree of life grows right out of it. Because the Bible says the letter killeth.
Hallelujah. But it's the Spirit that maketh alive. Hallelujah. He don't bring back this Bible. We've had it all the time. He just brings back the Spirit of His Word.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And authorize us to make it real, man.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Now watch. Go take the little book which is open. It's open now. Amen. Now, we used to sing in Pentecost a song that I haven't heard in many years. My life's an open book to Jesus. And brother, I'm not ashamed. I was born to the Savior. It's more than worldly fame. You ever heard that? But what you haven't done? Oh yeah, I thought you folks was. I'm the old one around here. Amen. My life's an open book to Jesus. See, that's what the open book is. It's something, amen, it's within you, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And in the early church, the church was called the body of Christ. Paul said, ye are Christ, one place. Amen, you're Christ. You're members of the body of Christ. And he said it many different ways, but the point being, when we see the church, we see Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. We are expecting and witnessing a marriage take place, the marriage of Christ to His bride. In that early church, before the church fell, Paul got the church engaged to Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2. He said, I have espoused you to Christ as a test virgin. Amen, that I might present you to Christ, present you, but he said, but I fear lest as a serpent beguile Eve. So, I'm afraid you'll be beguiled from the simplicity that's in Christ.
Yeah.
And the same serpent that beguiled Eve beguiled that early church, because before Paul left the scene, he said, there's men among you right now. Just as soon as I'm gone off the scene, so they'll rise to draw disciples after themselves. Is that right?
Amen.
Amen. It began to lose something. God took the apostles home. The church went into the dark ages.
Yeah.
Amen. The book was sealed in 96 A.D. Hallelujah. And it stayed sealed for 2,000 years. It's called Church Ages. Amen. It's a historical ground that I don't plan to go back to. Hallelujah, because there's too much to do with the living Christ among us. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Just as sure as Paul got the church engaged there, the church fell away, God's bringing it back, but there's a marriage to take place in this last day. Hallelujah. And he said we would become bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. Amen. We become spirit of his spirit.
Right.
And the Word of God teaches in the 19th chapter of the book of Revelation that the bride has made herself ready, and to her it was granted that she should be clothed in fine linen, which is the righteousness of the Lord. And the righteousness of God coming back upon you is the last message this world will ever hear. Amen. Not by good words.
Yeah,
amen. Our brethren, which were the Jews, in the 19th chapter of Revelation, or Romans 19th, 11th chapter, 9th, 10th, and 11th, deal with three chapters there, that they went about seeking righteousness by works.
That's right.
Amen. In doing so, that is a denial of the righteousness of God.
Right.
And if you think you can do one little, one thing to be righteous, that is saying that he's not capable of making me righteous. But when you're in him, you're as righteous as he is. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Because if you'll go to the 5th chapter of 2 Corinthians, the very last verse, Paul talking there, we're ambassadors of Christ. Go down through that. But the very last verse, it says, God has made him. That's the one that speaks. That's the eternal. God has made Christ sin for you. And he has made you the righteousness of God in Christ. Hallelujah. Some people say, well, I believe Christ died for my sin. Amen. Well, that's only part of the verse, and it will only get you part of the one. You have to believe that you are the very righteousness of Christ. He took your sin and gave you His righteousness. And we got the best of it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That one as righteous as Jesus is. Hallelujah. Not by any of my works or anything, because I need Him and my life is, I'm dead and my life is hid with Christ in God and the devil can't find. Hallelujah. Yes, that's the only way you can have faith. Sin is a faith killer. Paul preached the righteousness of God and the people's faith grew exceedingly. Hallelujah. You've got room tonight for your faith to grow.
That's right.
And your faith must grow.
That's right.
And it'll never grow until you recognize, hallelujah, I'm worthy of this, not because of anything I've done, but because He made me worthy. He died on the cross for me. Hallelujah. And all of His righteousness He gave it to me. Amen. And God can't see my sin unless He sees right through Christ and He sees no sin. Hallelujah. He that is born of God does not sin, commit sin because the seed remains in him.
Amen.
Amen. That dealing with that inner man, soul, down there where that inside of the inside where it can't, glory to God, and He cannot charge sin against you.
Amen.
You know why? There's one step up to stand for. If the devil tried to put sin on you, Christ says, no. You have to put it on me, because He's in me. This gospel to all nations, kindreds, and tongues. Amen. God made a way. He's doing it. You're living in Bible days.
Yeah.
Scripture being fulfilled. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Amen. Glory to God. Now, faith is something you've got to have. Well, I believe. Well, if you believe, how come you come in church with your head down?
Yeah.
If you believe, how come you come in with a face so long but like a beard?
Amen.
Amen. I heard a little story a man over in Indiana was telling. Said they, him and his son, riding down the road and there was a mule. They stopped and said, Dad, stop. Let me see that mule. Just let me look at that mule. And the little boy looked at it, the little fellow there. He said, that mule must be a Christian. His dad said, why, son? He said, look what a long face he's got. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Brother, we got something not to be long face about.
Amen.
Amen. We got something that's going to lift us out of here.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. Oh, yeah. We're going to go as far as we can keep our wings to take us and then we'll go on. Hallelujah.
To continue hearing this message, please go to part 2.